you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 2A Radio. Glad you're tuning in. I got some good emails yesterday thanking me for yesterday's show. Yesterday's show was a rebroadcast of April 3rd, if I remember the date correctly. Wednesday was the birthday of the significant other in my life. So she and I and a friend went to Las Vegas, some 50 miles away from here. And spent the day in Vegas together. Her friend flew out of town. We spent the night at a hotel called the Monte Carlo right on the strip next door to the New York. And stayed there for the night, had a great time, woke up yesterday, spent a good portion of yesterday in Vegas. Therefore, that show was a rebroadcast for training. And had a great time. And ended up last night just kind of relaxing a little bit and much needed. So back here today, not here yesterday, which was Constitution Day. I'm sure that a number of RBN hosts must have mentioned Constitution Day. It was September 17th, 1787, that our Constitution was signed by 39 men to actually come into being. Although the country had been around for 12 years, the Constitution hadn't structured it. We need some sort of foundation here. So there it is. Our Constitution turned 222 years old yesterday, and although many of us still look at it as the beautiful document that it is, many more of the servants, actually, the lower life levels of the population, really, who would be known as the elected officials, those who are actually kind of the pond scum of the United States citizenry, the majority of them at the federal level, just really don't care too much about that. The other pond scum, which tend to disbelieve in the Constitution more so, would be the attorneys, which attack it, and those attorneys, which became judges, generally at the federal level. And again, it's not all of them. It's just a good percentage of them that would rather wipe their backside with the Constitution or a copy thereof than look at it in the eyes of these 39 men who signed it, the ones who framed it, and just essentially all of the founding fathers, including those dating back and including the Declaration of Independence. Quite certainly, in any sort of legal profession, one must be familiar with the Constitution. However, at this point in time, there are many law schools out there in the United States which have absolutely no requirement for constitutional law class. And in fact, many don't even offer it. When all laws are based on the Constitution, and they don't even offer a course on it. So I am hoping that maybe an organization such as Oath Keepers or something might be able to branch off and get that happening. For the Constitution not to be a class, which should be required all 3 years of law school. I mean, let's start with the Magna Carta, go to the Declaration of Independence, have those like over 1 year and then the Constitution over 2 more years. That certainly should hopefully sum some things up. And maybe it'd be great if we could wind the clock back and, require everyone who's passed a bar at this point in time that if they haven't taken 2 years of constitutional law, they need to go back and get it if they want their bar to not expire. More after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3. Listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
So anti-gunners tend to hide behind organizations such as the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence is not against gun violence. They're against guns, period. It's already illegal for felons, convicted felons, to own guns. And the vast majority of gun crimes are committed by convicted felons. They've already been convicted of a felony. They get a gun. They cause more problems with these guns. So that's the vast majority of gun crime committed by already convicted felons who already legally cannot own a gun. Okay. Not to mention the act in which they're using the gun is illegal as well. We've talked about this. So the need for the Brady Center it's gone. I mean, there's really is, based on what they say that their mission statement is, they don't need to be around anymore. There's already laws against using guns in illegal activity. And there's already laws to keep a certain percentage, a certain format of the population gun free, because they've already shown that they lack really the ability to do the right thing in society and been convicted of a felony. Therefore, we really have no need for the violence policies. I'm sorry, for Brady campaign. Violence Policy Center is the same thing. The Violence Policy Center does not want there to be any sort of gun violence out there on the streets. They and Brady have essentially the same mission statement. Again, I direct you to the laws that are already on the books. They've been passed. Okay? The laws have been passed. It's pretty much impossible to enforce them, but, you know, the laws have been passed. And the only way for this to work is for everybody to honor the law. But only the law-abiding honor the law. The law-eluding or the law-breaking do not. All right? So, Violence Policy Center and Brady Campaign, there's no need for them to exist. The laws have already been passed. It's now up to enforcement. No new laws need to be passed. They're already on the books. So they can go away now. However, being a multi-million-dollar industry, they're not going to go anywhere. But if they actually follow their real mission statement, they're done. They've accomplished their mission. Unless they're actually anti-gun purposely. Not violence with guns, but they don't want guns out there at all. In that case, they're going to keep their doors open. And you can see that's exactly what's going on. Another one is this one that just asswipe scumbag Michael Bloomberg out of New York City put together called, what was it, Mayors Against Criminals with Guns or something like that. Actually, you know what? I can look up the name real quick here. Mayors Against, I'm reading through here. Yeah, whatever it is. It's mayors that are supposed to be against gun violence, right? To reduce gun violence. Now, there's about 450 mayors across the country that are members of this organization, several of which have been dropping off. They've actually been dropping off like flies because they have learned that it's not against Mayor Bloomberg and his group or not against gun violence. They're against guns, period. And you have many mayors that are actually members of the NRA that are members also of this Mayors Against the Gun Violence or whatever the hell the organization is. But they've been buffaloed to believe that that's to try to keep crime down on their streets. Now, what does being a member of this organization do for any particular city that a member that's a member that a mayor, if there's a mayor that's a member of that organization, what benefits does his city get from his or her membership into this organization? I believe none. I think what it is simply just, there's mayors that say we don't want guns. And Bloomberg and his crew, his henchmen, his posse, they use those numbers when they lobby in Congress. Now, I got to tell you, Bloomberg, he sits in front of some sort of congressional panel, be it in the House or the Senate, three or four times a year. You see him up there running his suck, you know, blabbing his jib. And why does Bloomberg get to sit up there when no other mayor does? Well, of course, New York City is, as they say, the greatest city on earth. It's the biggest city in America, for sure. However, Bloomberg, it's worth billions, and that's why he's allowed up there. There's three different groups, really, that tend to change policy. I should say four, in fact. You've got the politicians. Of course, you've got the Fortune 500 guys. You've certainly got the lobbyists, and then also you've got the crowd involved in the entertainment business, right? The dancing monkeys. The reason being, you've got the Fortune 500 guys that have the money, and they give the money to the politicians and tell them this is what we want to set policy. And that's pretty much the same thing as the lobbyists. The lobbyists have the money, and they lobby and give money to the politicians to have them set policy. Then you've got the group, the entertainers, that just really have the attention of essentially the stupid people. I should say the moronic ignorant people of the country. You know, I'm standing there to check out at my local Walmart or at my Albertsons or, you know, getting food, getting whatever. And there's a rack of 8 or 10 magazines. Every single one of them has to do with celebrity stuff. They've got celebrities on the front. You know, it's like everybody is so tuned into what these actors, actresses, and performing artists are doing that their lives are consumed by it. So when those people open their mouth, they set policy and set ideals into the heads of the morons who dedicate their lives to following the lives of these entertainers. You remember back in Shakespeare's day, entertainers were considered pretty much about the lowest rung of society, because they didn't really bring anything to society. They couldn't build stuff. They couldn't fix stuff. They didn't really add to everybody else. They were merely a distraction. They were basically about that of a beer. They had, because a beer is a nice place, you can kick back and relax with a beer. However, if drinking a beer, oftentimes you can still accomplish something. While watching someone perform, you can't accomplish anything else. So they weren't held in the highest regard. Nowadays, wow, that's the echelon. Anyhow, so here's the deal. Politicians, when it comes to that group of four, you got politicians and lobbyists, Fortune 500 guys, you've got the entertainment crowd. Politicians are really the least important and lowest rung, because they end up being the dancing monkeys, because they will listen to the lobbyists that have money, certainly the Fortune 500 guys that have the money, and certainly the entertainment crowd, which they're happy to rub shoulders against. And because the entertainment crowd is people in America are so enthused by them and so moronically headstrong into, oh my God, what's going on in the life of Jennifer Aniston or Megan Fox or Colin Farrell, you know, we want to know all about these guys. It's stupid, all right? Stupid. Anyhow, the politicians are pretty much the lowest rung because they answer to the other groups. So when you have Bloomberg and his posse and this group of mayors, which has roughly 450 strong, and they keep dropping down, that they just go in and they will lobby. All right? Chiming in on this conversation, calling in from Florida on line one, we have Larry. Larry, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. Regarding the gun thing, it's interesting. I mean, we obviously know that They got to get the guns in order to advance their goals. I mean, it's the only logical reason. I mean, if one out of every 100 people was a criminal, and we all had guns, the other 100 people had 100 guns, who's going to win out?
Well, that's pretty apparent. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But if you take away 99 guns and leave one with the criminal, who wins?
Well, that makes us the prey and them the hunters.
But the reason why I was really calling is going back to your earlier comment about the Constitution forming a country.
Yes.
It was really a compact with the states. It formed a union. It's not a country.
Right. We had at that point in time, each state was pretty much its own small nation. That came together. Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
That didn't change. That didn't change when the federal Constitution was formed.
No, it changed. It changed actually, Larry, after the Civil War. That's when it changed. Because up to that point, it was the United States are, Then it became the United States is. And that's really when we got host. I'm not a big fan of Abraham Lincoln. I think that he really kind of hosed us. I'm not a big fan of what happened under Lincoln.
Yeah, well, and also one of your other radio hosts, Ralph Winterroad.
Yes, great
guy. I don't
know
if you ever listened to Ralph.
Sure.
You know, does some really good research, and you know, there is now a fourth branch of government, which is the administrative state, which pretty much controls everything. That's
yeah,
how they usurp.
Pretty much the regulatory branches, yeah. as they go through with the bureaucracies and do stuff. Absolutely. Yeah, Ralph, I like listening to Ralph. I don't catch all of his shows. But Ralph, he does, what, a two-hour show, I think, on Saturdays. And he has...
Sunday.
I'm sorry. And he spends an enormous amount of time looking at this stuff, and he has such an excellent format to be able to get that information across. We're running up on the break. Larry, thank you very much for the call. Have a great weekend. Yeah, and I really, really like listening to Ralph. He did a thing dealing with the, I believe it was the IRS and the whole tax scheme over about a month's period. And I still listen to that every once in a while. I'll go back. I have those. I got them off the RBN archive site and listen to those. Every couple of months, I'll pull it out and I'll listen to those. So, yeah, Ralph does a great job. So check the RBN schedule. It is on Sundays, the Ralph Winterwood Show. He does a great job. I'm sure I'll be doing something on Constitution Day this weekend, knowing what I know about Ralph. Stay tuned. More coming at you after the break. Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Okay, I've got a little story for you right here out of Las Vegas. There's what happens when a police officer gets involved in a shooting and the person that they shot dies. They have what's called the coroner's inquest. The coroner takes over and does an investigation. Then they have a hearing, and based on the hearing, they decide whether or not that this shooting has been justified or not. Just so you understand, since the advent of the coroner's inquest, every single shooting ever reviewed by the Clark County Coroner's Office, and that would be every law enforcement agency within the county, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, it's not the Las Vegas Police, Las Vegas Metro, which encompasses the city of Las Vegas and the unincorporated areas of Clark County, which is 65,000 square miles. There's also the North Las Vegas Police Department, Henderson Police Department, both of which are in the Las Vegas Valley, the Boulder City Police Department out near Hoover Dam, and the Mesquite Police Department, which is out way on the other end, out in Mesquite towards the Arizona border. I believe that covers all of it. If any of the officers on any of those aforementioned departments shoots and kills somebody in the line of duty, there's a coroner's inquest. Since the beginning of days of this coroner's inquest, which is back in the early 70s, if memory serves correct, they have ruled every single shooting either justifiable or understandable. That's just the way it goes. So last Friday, a week ago, the coroner's inquest ruled the Las Vegas detective was justified in the fatal shooting of a sexual assault suspect during a foot chase last month. A jury of seven deliberated for about an hour and a half before returning the unanimous verdict in favor of Jeremy Hicks, a detective, who's an 11-year veteran of the force. Now, Detective Hendricks shot John Paul Hambleton, who's 32, in the back as he ran from the detective and his partner the afternoon of July 1st in a northwest Las Vegas neighborhood near Rancho Drive and Alexander Road. That is way out in the northwest area. Matter of fact, not too awful far from the new Clark County Shooting Park, about 5-6 miles from there. The detective Hendricks, who's 30 years old, and his partner, Angie Christensen. Now, I don't know any of these guys. They came on after I left. They met Hambleton at the Elgin Convalescent Hospital and Retirement Center. to question him about his 2-year sexual relationship with a 16-year-old girl. Police planned to file 9 counts of sexual assault with a minor against him. Now, keep in mind, in Nevada, 16 is the age of consent. Once you reach the age of 16, you can pretty much have consensual sex with anybody else who's 16 or older within the state. However, they're alleging that this started back when the girl was 14 or 15. It was within 2 years, so 14 or 15. Now, Hamilton initially denied the relationship and was cooperative, but then he suddenly ran from the police. The detectives chased him, shot him twice with a taser, but that didn't stop him. He kept running. Now, Hendricks said he and Hamilton scuffled on their knees before they stood up, and that's when Hamilton, the suspect, grabbed Hendricks' taser and pointed it at the detective. According to testimony of the detective, he said, "I was 100% sure I was going to get tased," he said. "He drove it towards me. This immediately turned into an attack on me." He said the men were face-to-face about 10 feet apart as the detective reached for his gun. He said he couldn't clearly recall how Hamilton turned away from him. "I would speculate he saw my firearm and turned around," Hendricks said. "In that split second and that lag time, he just turned and I pulled the trigger." So, here's the thing. Hamilton's partner and the other 4 witnesses did not see the suspect turn around. And even so, is a taser considered lethal force? No, it's called less lethal or less than lethal. So if I point a taser at somebody, are they in fear of death or serious bodily injury? Well, based on the history of tasers, reasonably they shouldn't be. However, tasers have killed people, and cops have gotten a little taser happy. So what does this cop do? He turns and shoots a guy. So if we turn this around a little bit, let's say this cop was getting chased, and he turned around with his taser. Would someone be justified in shooting him with a gun in the back? I don't believe so. Now, I know the way that police work. I know the way that this department works specifically. And, you know, people look out for people. Now, was this shooting justified? My interpretation, having not been there, haven't seen anything, nothing but reading reports, I find it highly questionable. I do. I find it highly questionable that somebody with a taser is considered so lethal that they need to get shot. If not against that police officer, if he feels that this guy for some reason or other exuded behavior that he's going to go out tasing other people and killing them or causing serious bodily injury, then he could shoot him. None of those circumstances exist. How the coroner's inquest could possibly rule this justified, I have no idea. No idea. Understandable? Maybe. On a far outside. But if this detective perjured himself, that's the sort of thing that people need to start getting fired and prosecuted for. I believe they need to investigate this further. If they don't, you and I are the ones getting hosed here. Stay tuned. More coming at you after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
I have said many times that society, in large part, is dictated by the parenting, or lack thereof. Today's society is the scuzziest, worst, lousiest, scumbag portion of American society we have ever, ever had. And quite honestly, it's been that way for a generation. For the last generation, it's really, really sucked. And I really tend to turn this back, starting with the Vietnam War, when we had the protesters out there, people that were, they were not pro-American. The media came out there. The media was not really pro the war. You know, they're getting all information. Oh, you're a baby killer. You know, these guys are over there fighting a war that shouldn't have happened. That Johnson started, Nixon continued. So we've just got real problems in the country at that point in time. So we ended up with a sect of society that decided to be a bunch of pot-smoking hippies and make love, not war, and throw everything to the wind, and if it feels good, do it. Well, they had kids, all right? And those kids grew up, and they were, you know, kind of not really very active in society. And then they had kids, and having absolutely no idea how to do anything any better, because their parents weren't very good, then they're not very good. Their kids grow up with a bunch of other kids that are now second generation, you know, hippie blood, as it were. They end up being the people that are causing problems now, and now they're raising kids. So now we've got three generations, now into the fourth, that aren't raising kids properly. So we have a real problem with that. And then we have others that hide behind other principles rather than raising their children between what's right and wrong. That's really all you need. You have kids and you teach them the difference between what's right and what's wrong. Not what is excusable and what has to be proven. That brings me to this case out of Trenton, New Jersey, where three teenagers say they were tossed from a New Jersey baseball park over their refusal to stand up during the song God Bless America during a minor league Newark, New Jersey Bears game, Newark Bears. The boys argued that their constitutional rights were violated when they were asked to leave the Newark Bears and Eagles Riverfront from Eagles Riverfront Stadium on June 29th by Bears president and co-owner Thomas Center, Setner, C-E-T-N-A-R. Setner acknowledges the boys were asked to leave but declines to say why. He also is denied making the statement attributed to the assault. The boys, Milburn High School seniors, who are Bryce Gadya, G-A-D-Y-E, Gadya, Nickel Moore Paddle, Bo 17, and junior Sean Mohammed Khan, 16, sued in federal court this last Friday seeking unspecified damages. According to the lawsuit, the boys were seated behind home plate when the song began playing. Once it ended, they said Setner approached them, yelling at them. Nobody sits down during the God Bless America in my stadium. The lawsuit quotes him as saying, now get the expletive, get the blank out of here. Now, Setner denies saying that. He said, never did that ever happen. Setner says he hasn't seen the lawsuit, but called the boys' account a huge fabrication. The boys are being represented by Bryce Gade's father, Ross, who said the boys weren't protesting the song and no one asked them to stand. Now, this in lies my opening comments to this segment. Parents, if you don't do what's right, your children will grow up as scumbags, and their children will grow up. Everybody beneath you will now dishonor your name. So that goes to show that this guy, that Bryce's father, Ross, right? He must have been raised by scumbags, because Ross, as an adult and a professional who's an attorney, which doesn't really bring high marks in a lot of areas, obviously wasn't raised properly himself, because he's doing a poor job in raising his son. He says they weren't trying to make any political statements. They just didn't get up. No one gave them an ultimatum. The song was sung. It was finished. Then they were thrown out. I'm sorry. Everybody knows. You stand up when you hear God Bless America. You stand up when you hear the national anthem. If you don't know that, when you're in a stadium filled with people and they all stand up and remove their hats, that's an indication of what to do. God Bless America, written by Irving Berlin in 1918, was played at big league ballparks throughout the country when baseball resumed after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and has remained a fixture at New York area games, certainly at the New York Yankees games. In July, the Yankees and New York City settled a lawsuit with a fan who said he was ejected from Yankee Stadium by police after he left his seat to use the bathroom during the playing of God Bless America. The city did not admit liability in the lawsuit in the settlement, but agreed to give the fan $10,001 and paid $12,000 in legal fees. The Yankees changed their policy, and fans at the team's new stadium are allowed to move freely during the song. Now, this attorney, Ross Goodyear, declined to let his son be interviewed, saying he was concerned about his safety over reaction to the lawsuit, which was first reported in the Star Ledger of Newark. Of course, if you are afraid of your son's safety because of the lawsuit, why would you put your own son in jeopardy? Ross, why are you such a scumbag member of society? You're putting your son in jeopardy. First of all, you didn't raise him properly. Otherwise, he would have stood up. And not only would he have stood up, he would have told his friends, if they didn't want to stand up, you know what, guys? Don't be jackasses. This is God bless America. Get your asses on your feet and show a little respect. That's what my kids would do. But I raise my kids properly, Ross. You are quite abundantly apparent that you do not have any idea how to properly raise a child, Ross. So not only do you not raise your kid properly, you then put him in jeopardy by filing a lawsuit on behalf of him and his friends. So now their safety must be in jeopardy as well. You don't care about that, Ross. You want to have your name out there, Ross. You want to get a little free extra money, Ross. Then, on top of that, you're setting such a poor example of how to handle poor behavior when you're called on it. Your son exhibits poor behavior and disrespectful behavior, and he gets called out on it. And how does he handle it? You show him, oh, file a lawsuit. You should be allowed to be a disrespectful little puke. So we're going to file a lawsuit. How about that? Ross says, they've been getting all kinds of mixed reactions, both gung-ho and we want to kill you. I think what makes it so terrible is that they were publicly humiliated for exercising a right that was guaranteed to them by the United States Constitution. Now, of course, the sides differ on the incident. Of course, he's not going to allow his son to be interviewed. Because what happened at the ballpark, the kids are probably inflating. You didn't stand up, get the F out. I would imagine that an owner of a baseball team's not going to do that. Very, very probably going to go down there and say, look, you boys, time for you to go. Why? You didn't stand up during God Bless America. It's time to go. You should know better. Get out. Let's go. That's probably the way it went down. I can imagine any ballpark owner in his ballpark, that's the way he's going to handle it, especially with other people around. I mean, the kids are behind home plate, right? A lot of people sit behind home plate. I doubt he's going to go down there throwing a tirade, as claimed. But the kids are going to inflate it a bit. Of course, you got three sides of the story. His side, her side, the truth, whatever. This side, that side, and the middle. The middle's probably where it is. So I'm trying to figure out the middle here. And then these kids decide to go home. They cry to their dad, and their dad, oh, yeah, hey, let me see. What can I do about this legally? That's my area. I can be the hero. You're setting a poor example. You raise your kid wrong. He's hanging out around other kids that were raised wrong. You're setting a poor example, and you're putting all three of their safeties at jeopardy. What kind of a scumbag are you? And what kind of a scumbag have you raised? And what kind of scumbag little scumbaglets are going to be coming out of his scumbag genes? Yeah, you're vermin, really. People that operate like this are absolute vermin of society. Vermin. Now, Ross Gade, this scumbag attorney and father of one of the kids, said he met with the general manager Mark Skeels and James Wankmiller, a co-owner, following the incident. He said they apologized and offered some free tickets. But Gates said the boys wanted an apology from Settner, who was not at the meeting, and sued when there was no resolution. Wankmiller, who declined to talk about whether the boys were asked to leave the ballpark and why, said they offered to meet with Gade's son and the other boys and never heard back from them. He said it boiled down to money. We offered to sit down with him and find out what his beef was, and he asked for money. That was about it. They're talking about Ross. They sat down with this father attorney. The general manager and the other co-owner sat down with the attorney and said, "What's your beef?" And he said, "We want money." Neither side would respond to the other's version of how talks played out. Even if the boys win their lawsuit, it's unclear if they'll get much money from the minor league team. Developer Mark Burnson sold the team to California-based Loaded Group last year after Burnson filed for bankruptcy. Not much money anyhow. I really look at this entire case as a perfect picture of what happens in today's society when you have parents that don't know how to be parents, and the kids grow up parentless. They grow up without the true guidance that they really need. Oh, let's throw them into the school system. Let's let the schools raise them. Well, guess what? A lot of the people who are teachers nowadays didn't have that great of parenting either. I was lucky. I consider my kids lucky. I consider myself to be a pretty darn good parent. I consider my kid's mother to be a wonderful parent. Old school raising is what I got. Old school raising is what she got. Old school raising in a modern society is what our kids are getting. And they are responsible children. My eldest is 19. Her mother and I got a divorce when, I don't know, she was a year and a half old. We split up. We were divorced by the time she was 2 and a half. She doesn't even remember us being together. But yet, she is a responsible young adult. She lived with her mom for the majority of her life. Then her last couple years of high school, and then after that, she lived with me. And after high school, she ended up going, and her mom was living in Germany at the time. So she went and lived with her mom for another few months, came back, and decided, you know, I want to start being a productive member of society. Now, we're talking about my daughter who's 19, who's been a rather unmotivated individual for the majority of her life. You know, she sees certain things, she likes it, she's motivated to go do it. But there's not a lot of things that really light a fire under her butt. Example, she's 19 and a half, she still doesn't drive. She'd like to drive, but she hasn't really gone through the motions of what it takes to learn how to drive. And I'm an EVOC-trained driving instructor. So I've started to teach her how to drive, but just hasn't gone that far. So she's focused on other things. So she decides she wants to move from Pahrump into Vegas, about 50 miles away, and start working. She makes all of those end roads happen. She goes out. She finds herself a job. She finds some friends that live within a couple miles of her job. She figures out how to get some transportation going on. I end up getting her bike all spruced up in case she needs to ride the bike. She's doing great. Saw her Wednesday night. She's doing quite well. Making her money, paying her bills, doing the right thing, keeping her heads up, doing good things. Because she had parents raising her properly. Now, my other kids are with my second wife. Now, she's a fantastic parent. Everybody's got their own flaws. I've got my flaws. She's got her flaws. You take away all the flaws. I'm sorry, you add all the flaws in with all the positives, and you end up with people that are doing much better than average. All right. Plus, my parents are still around. Her mom's still around. Her dad just recently died. Their kid's grandfather died about 2 years ago. Great, wonderful man. 2.5 years ago now, I believe. Wonderful, wonderful man. Anyhow, point being that we are kind of exceptions to the rule. I would imagine most of the people listening are exceptions to that rule as well. Because of people who are in the majority that aren't very good parents, are rather liberal in their thought, rather, you know, forget about having any sort of personal responsibility or having any sort of personal accountability, don't tend to listen to networks like RBN. They listen more to like CNN and Hardball with Chris Matthews. What a scumbag. I got to tell you, Chris Matthews doesn't play hardball. He plays bully. He plays bully with a bunch of liberal leftist scuzz ideas. I would love to be a guest on there just so I could cut him to pieces. What a scumbag. I digress. So here we've got this this attorney, Ross Gale, and his son, and his son's two friends. And the three boys go to the minor league ballpark, disrespect God Bless America, then get booted out for disrespecting God Bless America. Then dad of one of the three files a lawsuit on the three's behalf to try to get and goes and meets with the guys at the ballpark and basically wants money. It's all about the money. It's all about the evil dollar. So let's say they do win. What does this teach these three boys? It teaches them that their poor behavior at the ballpark was acceptable, and it teaches them that if they continue to do this, now they should look for this sort of thing because they can end up getting free money by suing over their poor behavior and being rewarded for it financially. If you cannot raise your kids with any ounce of respect for themselves, others around them, or the country they live in, or anything else like that, and then on top of it, you back it up by trying to get them free money for their poor behavior when somebody finally put them in check because you're so lousy at parenting, you don't do it, or can't do it, don't have the ability to do it, or too stupid to know how to do it, then you sue and put their safety in jeopardy by filing the lawsuit, but continue it? You are a scumbag of the first order. That's the way I see it. I challenge anyone to challenge me on that. You can always send me your emails, bill@2aradio.com. Stay tuned through the break. More to come.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam taught him to shoot
maybe a little too well. Finger on the trigger loaded. I want to talk about a story from something that happened in jolly old England, in Great Britain. In Great Britain, we know that really you have no rights to self-defense. And really, if you are a criminal and you do things that are illegal or immoral, the police aren't going to do anything about it. You actually would then have more rights to do what you want to do than those of your victims. And that's the way England is. If you ever hear anybody say, I wish we had a form of government in the United States more along those of England or Europe, here is what you get, all right? A mother killed herself and her 18-year-old disabled daughter. She's 38, her disabled daughter's 18, after being terrorized by a gang of youths that were around their neighborhood for the last 9 or 10 years. Repeatedly, they called police, literally hundreds of times over this amount of time, and would complain about these kids that were outside stalking, harassing, threatening to kill, throwing items. The mother could not take it any longer. Certainly couldn't afford to move. The police would do absolutely nothing. So she took her own life and her daughter's life into her hands. I should correct. It shows that a police log, they called the police more than 20 times in the last 7 years. And her severely dyslexic son had also been threatened. So she actually had two kids that had some issue or another. She put her daughter in her car, took some gasoline, poured it all over the car, put herself in the car, lit it on fire. And she and her daughter died in this suicidal fire in this car, because they could otherwise not get relief from these gangs in Great Britain. Now you tell me, what kind of society do you want to be in where that is your inevitable end? Could you think of a more horrible way to die than in a fire being burned to death? That was the only escape this woman could see, because the police would do nothing, because the laws wouldn't protect them, because the police wouldn't do anything about it. And because of poor parenting with these kids being the scum that they were and being allowed to do it, That is what we get to look forward to if we don't do something, and I'm talking now. We don't start getting the right people in office. We don't, it, you know what, I gotta tell you. Consider all of Capitol Hill to be a toilet. A toilet occasionally needs to be flushed. Consider it to be a diaper. Inevitably, it will need to be changed. Okay? Politicians and diapers are just the same. They need to be changed on a regular basis. And you need to put the best diaper or best politician on for the amount of time that they should have their livelihood in office. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. I hope everyone has an excellent weekend out there. Go out, do the right thing. If you're a parent, be a good one.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.